Amen. Thankful for everybody today. I have a couple other quick reminder announcements. That was the jet shush. Next Sunday's potluck is where we get to all enjoy our meal together and fellowship, and so I want to remind and invite you all to remember next Sunday. We'll be having a fellowship, and if you bring a side dish and or a dessert, we'll have a wonderful time. You can bring two if you like. Three is absolutely permissible. I wouldn't stop you. That's right. Let's pray. So, Father, we love you, and we thank you today for your spirit, for your truth, for your word, for your power, for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, Lord, for all that you are to us, Lord, today. We give you thanks, and Lord, we ask that your heart would be open, your spirit would be present, that we would have, Lord, discernment today and understanding of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We've been talking about Daniel, and we're not going to talk about Daniel as much today, other than if you were to give a title of what we're talking about, the incredible power of giving thanks. But in Daniel 6:10, in the midst of a life of slavery and being used as a discerner of dreams and a prophetic voice to several regimes that held the Israelites captive, in 6:10, we see a king who decrees, because people who are jealous of Daniel convinces this king to make a rule, to make a law, to make a decree. And the decree is, King, you're so awesome, nobody should pray or worship anybody but you for the next 30 days. And the king said, yeah, that sounds good. And he passes it, and they do it just because they know Daniel every day is praying to his God. And so as soon as they get the law to pass, they go, they out Daniel. And scripture says Daniel did something every day. In verse 10, it says that he opened the window towards Jerusalem like he always had done, three times a day. And he got down on his knees and prays and gives thanks to God. Every day he gives thanks to God. He has a posture of thanksgiving. And that's what we're going to look at today. I normally am not seasonal in my messages. I don't look for the, the message of the week. But guess what? This week is Thanksgiving. Amen. All the turkey lovers said amen. Pumpkin pie, all those things. But I just want a holy sausage. There you go. There's a different tradition, but it's all good. I was raised in an Italian community, so it was always pasta dishes that they all had together. So a lot of traditions. But there's something that I want to look at and hopefully ask God to give us revelation towards in the power of God in giving thanks. Psalm 92, in the second part of Psalm, verse 1, Psalm 92, it says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks to God and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. I don't know how to put enough emphasis on this next statement, but I'm going to say it as best I can to help our hearts be positioned. Supernatural power releases when we thank God in faith by revelation. Supernatural power releases in our life when we choose to be thankful, understanding how it invites God into the circumstance. I believe that's one of the things that we miss in our Christian walk when we say we need God to do something is inviting him into the something that we need him to do. that we can say, I just give it to God. But the reality is those can be a lot of trite sentences for, I don't know what I'm doing or what to do, so I claim God in the midst and walk away from it. I claim God and then I say, oh, no, I'm not worrying about it anymore. And there's some truth to that, but the reality of it is the invitation to God to come in, the door for God to come in is opened best with a heart of thanks. And the idea that some of us might have experienced something like, well, I complained for a little while, then I said, God, I give it to you, then I complained some more. And we somehow expect God to move in that dynamic, when instead we have to labor to go, God, I know I'm supposed to be thankful, so instead of just offering up to you words without any meaning behind them, I confess, first of all, my sin of fear that you're not going to come through, because doubting you, God, is never a posture that I want to hold for very long. Number two, God, forgive me for not trusting and believing that you really do see me and that you're going to move on my behalf. This is an invitation to say, God, I'm not going to say with my word, I want you, and in my heart be far from you. I'm not going to say with my mouth, God, you got this, and in my flesh go, how can I make this work? And so this idea of revelation in knowing what the power of thanksgiving here is just what I want to kind of land on for a few minutes. Millions of people are going to celebrate Thanksgiving this week. And a lot of people will do so with no clue who to be thankful to. They'll gather in a place of thanksgiving and they don't know who they're thankful to, and no real desire to discover who they ought to be thankful to. And they'll go in and say, I had a great Thanksgiving. And the idea of God being involved just didn't have any real bearing on what they do. Many people will be called upon to say what they're thankful for. I know in a lot of family traditions, okay, we're going to go around the table. Okay, now Mason, you tell me what you're thankful for. And if your grandpa's Greg, which I know it is, he always has to have gratitude. You know, tell us what your gratitude statement are, you know. And so anybody else in your family go, all right, somebody tell me what you're thankful for. And it's like, oh, you know, we do that. And then, you know, people will gather and we'll eat a lot of food and we'll watch some football and hug and kiss everybody, catch up on conversations, and sort of go, this was it. Instead of going, there's something deeper, something below the surface that God would invite us to enter into. Because doing God's will matters. And if it's a good thing to give thanks, and giving thanks is God's will for us, and you say, what do you mean exactly? Well, there's that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, where it says, give thanks in all circumstances, and pray continually, and give thanks in all situations or all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will for you in Christ Jesus is to be thankful. And so I just got a couple points here, maybe a question. Probably won't be very long today. But do you know one of the most major causes of human illness is pressure, stress, anxiety? I mean, that people, then they say, I had blood pressure, there's something wrong. I mean, now we just, so to speak, label them as, we have an anxiety attack. We have, you know, it's almost like we could create it, and now we can give you a pill for it, instead of going, there's a whole thing of, anxiety is part of the fallen human condition. Let me just say it that way, okay? But God has a prescription. And the prescription for anxiety, according to his word, in Philippians 4, and I'll just read it. It says in Philippians 4, 6, here's God's prescription. Do not be anxious about anything. Anxious is being in the state of having anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. With thanksgiving, don't be anxious. Go to God with thanksgiving and present your request to him. And here's what his response is. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What Scripture's saying here is amazing. Instead of being anxious, choose to pray with thanksgiving, and it's an open door in your heart that invites for God to come in by his Spirit, move on your behalf, and guard your heart and your mind. From what? From anxiety. He's saying, don't be anxious, because that isn't going to be productive, but enter into thanksgiving and watch the supernatural, the transcendent power of God enter into your circumstance and guard you from the effects of anxiety that are going to give you high blood pressure and cause you to bite your fingernails and bite your husband's head off or whatever else you might be biting out of your anxiety. There's a prescription here of thanksgiving that invites supernatural grace to be at hand and operational. That's the kind of, for me, the, oh, that's nice. I think I would grow to love that kind of dynamic. Never be anxious again, because thanksgiving has taken over the place where anxiety used to live. Notice in both of those passages, the word says, in all circumstances and in every circumstance. A little caveat, a little side note, not for all circumstances. Not bad choices you make, disobedience you display, you know, that lands you in a bad predicament, or something the enemy does to attack or assault you. We don't thank God for that. We maintain a thankful heart in spite of that, knowing that he's rich in mercy towards us, knowing he takes what the enemy intended for evil and works it for our good. And the idea that they use the word transcend, that the peace of God transcends, anytime you see that, you should think in your mind, something transcendent indicates God's involvement, because God is above all. That's what Scripture says. And when I say we don't thank God for circumstances, and I know believers who have a different position, a different doctrine than I do, but you know, I've heard people say, well, I broke my leg, but I praise God for it. And wait a minute, you praise God for it? Or in spite of it? Well, if I hadn't broke my leg, I wouldn't have sit down and calm myself down and actually, you know, had to sit still long enough to hear God tell me that, you know, I basically wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing because I was too busy keeping myself busy all the time. So I praise God for my broken leg. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure about your theology on that one, because I don't know that God's a leg breaker per se. But I do know that if that's what it took for you to calm yourself down, for to sit still, and for you to get your heart in alignment with God again, we can praise God in that circumstance. I don't think it had to be your leg to be broken, and I don't think God's going around kneecapping people, okay? But if you choose different on your doctrine, that's up to you. I just know my Father's good. Now, I've been spanked, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. But not like that. And you know, God operates in mystery. I'm not saying I've got him all figured out, but I've been around, you know, believers long enough to tell me, you know, I got in a car wreck and I thank God for my car wreck. And I'm like, okay, not sure how that worked, but I'd rather just say God's mercy carried me through. He protected me, and I was able to be thankful because I was kind of going too fast and forgot who everything that I have comes from. You know, I understand that dynamic. So again, just a little side note about that. But this idea of this transcendent grace, this mercy, this goodness, this peace, that's God, it's beyond explanation. When it's beyond explanation, that's what the word transcendent is. It's stating God got involved, because God wins every debate. He overcomes every obstacle. And what he brings always trumps whatever else anybody or anything else brings to the table. God has the final say. God is overall. Nothing escapes God. He's never been surprised. And so it's always a lot easier to be thankful, you know, when things are going well, when we're experiencing breakthrough or increase or favor. You know, thank you, Lord, for my new job. Thank you, Lord, for the things we're enjoying in life. Thank you, God, for, you know, the car, the money, the family, all the things that are good. But in all circumstances, every circumstance, I mean, when it's all jacked up. You know, when things aren't going well, when the boss is a jerk, when the bills aren't paid, when the kids are misbehaving, the car broke down, And it's not simply about acknowledgement for the things we're enjoying, but it's about a lifestyle of gratitude that keeps the atmosphere right for breakthrough in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, in our environment. I don't understand it all, but I know that my discernment picked up over the years how people carry themselves, and it affected me. Okay, I've known people, been around people, and I wasn't conscious of it till years later. But certain people carried joy with them wherever they went. They were thankful, they were open, they didn't worry, they didn't complain, and being around them made me feel good. And I was, again, I think it's probably the way I'm gifted to discern. Well, I just want to be around that person. They're one of my favorite people because there's something about them. And conversely, somebody that was stressful, oh, everything's terrible, everything. It was like, I get tense when I'm around them. I don't like that level of tension. They carry something. And it wasn't until years later and I realized their climate is being affected by the attitude that they choose to maintain. Your climate, your sphere, when you walk into the room, are you thankful? And is it affecting those, your Thanksgiving? Or are you pretty much miserable and you don't want to be there and you don't like being there? It's that feeling that isn't, and somebody could say, well, you could defend yourself. I wasn't trying to be super positive. Or I didn't say or do anything negative. It's like, no, it's not that. In the unseen realm, you've made choices, decisions, and places that may or may not be good places, the place where you're dwelling, and you carry your dwelling with you. And so the thought of how does Thanksgiving affect me? Well, it doesn't just affect me, it affects those that are around me. If I'm thankful, there'll be peace of God that passes understanding, part of my environment, if you will. I'm using those words, obviously loosely, but we carry with us a spiritual climate. Now, this lifestyle of gratitude, what it does is acknowledges God's supreme eternal goodness even when we don't see it. That's the foundation of that. God is good even when we don't see it. And he doesn't change. Scripture talks about sacrificing offerings of thanksgiving. And I think we can miss it if we don't take time to gain his perspective. Not just say thank you because that's our duty or because we know we should, but seek him for the revelation of power it brings to bear upon our soul and our situation. One of the most powerful stories, I'll probably tell this story a lot over the years. It's very near, it's intimate to me, but it's real. I'll just say this for a minute. Over the last couple of years, ever since my son passed away, there's been moments where it's been really, really hard, and some areas are harder than others. Sometimes it's easier than others, but there's certain things that you remember or recall in the midst of it. And one of the things during that season, Andrew was in the Cancer Treatment Center of America in Zion, Illinois. And sometimes Jen would go up with Andrew, and sometimes I would go up with Andrew. And a couple times I had to stay. At one point in time, we stayed up there 5 weeks together, coming home on a weekend. And it was hard, but we did it. But I'm pushing Andrew around in a wheelchair a lot. And there's cancer patients everywhere. And, we're fighting for his life, but he's talking to people like he always did, interacting with people like he always would. And praying for people and stopping and saying, Dad, we got to pray for this person. They got this going on and their hips this way, because he's finding out their stories. And I would scratch my head. I would understand, well, this is who he is. This is how he is. But he said to me, Dad, we just got to stay thankful, because there's always somebody that has things worse off than you do. And I said, yeah. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't even know if that's true right now, but I know it's your truth, and I know that's what you believe. And on the day in December that the doctors came in and said his body's shutting down, I'll never forget, his posture wasn't, that sucks, I'm mad, I'm angry, I know what I saw, because he looked at Jen, and I was standing there, and he said, God is still good. That, those words, to me, continue to resonate when a circumstance wants to tell me it's greater than God. So whatever our circumstance, can our confession, can our profession, what we believe come from us that God is still good? That I'm not going to have a pity party for myself when I know human suffering is all around me and I found the one who ultimately relieves all our suffering. In Leviticus 22, there's something that God is doing to lay out the Levitical law and the requirements for sacrifices and such. And he's going down this pretty extensive list of the things the law requires. It says, you know, you eat this and you don't eat this, and do this with lepers and do this with creeping animals. And, you know, it's a pretty extensive list of how to interact with the environment around you. Don't kill for an offering a piece of livestock, you know, a cow or a sheep or a goat or whatever, if it's just had a baby. You know, even if you're going to take them both for a sacrifice, you got to wait a week to do that. Because here are all details and reasons and rules that have to be followed. And in verse 29, he says something that just almost doesn't fit when you read it through the text. It says, when you offer, Leviticus 22:20, when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. He's like, in the midst of all these rules and regulations and things that must be followed, there's an offering of thanksgiving that's reaching, but it's not scheduled to be offered daily, weekly, or monthly. You offer it at your own free will when it comes from your heart to God. Here's a rule, but you choose when to operate in it. You decide in your heart. See, God's still in concerned and involved with the heart of man. He is always left and continues to leave room for man to choose. We learn that Daniel chose every day, praying with thanksgiving three times a day, which I believe kept him in a position of agreement and openness to heavenly realities, revelatory truth, and God's favor rested upon him according to what we read in Scripture. He was faithful in stewarding what the Lord made available to him, and he had a lot made available to him. Psalm 50 in verse 23 says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. That word offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving, some text just say he who offers praises, but the word literally means sacrifice of thanks. Toda, a thank offering, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, honors me. And that word honors me, it means brings heaviness or weight with glory and honor. He who sacrifices, and you know, if you tie these together, who just chooses to be thankful, even by sacrifice, because that's the part that we're talking about. You know, if there's anything that modern Christendom wants to run away from, it's the idea of sacrifice. Instead of going, no, you were bought with a sacrifice, and you honor God with sacrifice. And the sacrifice that he's called us into is the sacrifice that says, I'm always going to be thankful to you, God, no matter what it looks like right here and right now. That's the open door invitation for his grace and mercy to come and smack dab hit in the middle of that thing that you can't move. And I can't tell you that means he's going to move that thing, but I can tell you what, if the thing can be moved, he'll move it. If he wants you to walk through it, you'll walk through it. If he wants you to stand there next to it, you'll stand there next to it, but you'll do it all in the grace of God. And you won't complain that it's not moving when he doesn't want to move it. Or when he says, walk around it, I'd rather walk through it. God said, no, walk around it. There's a reality that whatever it looks like, there's a way. See, that picture in that scripture, we live in a continual state of thanksgiving to the Lord. We're in agreement with the eternal invisible realm that beholds his majesty in an unhindered and unobscured way. The angels, the creatures, and the elders, everybody around the throne of God, they witness firsthand his beauty and his majesty. And it's an obvious and reasonable response for them to fall down and cry holy. Okay? But we're not there, naturally speaking. We're only there when we choose to recognize that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And when those are around the throne who behold the transcendent beauty that he alone possesses, It's altogether understandable that they cast their crowns down and fall at his feet and they say, worthy. But for us who can't see what they see like they're seeing it, which is basically seeing him, to enter into that realm of faith, to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving when we establish ourselves in the place of agreement that releases the exhilarating truth of who he is into the sphere of the seen realm. All of a sudden, our atmosphere, I can't promise you the circumstance changes, but our atmosphere just shifted because we just aligned ourselves with the atmosphere of heaven. We created an avenue between heaven and earth, the seen and the unseen. And right now, I might be existing in the earthly realm, but I'm fellowshipping in the heavenly realm with thanksgiving. And we become part of it. We are ordering our way aright, is what that scripture says. And he will show us the way of salvation. That word salvation there is yesha. And it means a lot of things, not just salvation. It means deliverance, rescue, safety, welfare, prosperity, and victory. This idea of sacrifice is an exercise that I believe we do well to practice. We could complain, we could blame, we could embrace self-pity or depression or victim mentality. But what if we just stopped and began thanking him at every juncture? Before the circumstance gets crazy, we start thanking. And that way, when the circumstance gets crazy, we'll just have a foundation of thanksgiving already built. And I'll say this because I've caught it myself. We want to beware of a trite, well, thank you. It's like sometimes we need to stop and go, am I thankful? I can say the word thank you with my heart and not be thankful. Don't want to do that. That's what religion does. Say the words, get through it, and move on to the next thing. No, God. I know right now I can't see anything that I need to be thankful for, but that doesn't mean there aren't things that I need to be thankful for. So instead of hoping I flip the thank you switch and make you, you know, move at my command, I'm going to stop again in this moment. I'm going to fight to apprehend a place of true thanksgiving. And I'll say thank you 100 times, 1,000 times, until it hits me. God, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful, and I'm not going to move forward until I can recognize and remember all that I have to be thankful for in a real and tangible way. I want to keep the door open, God, and I'm going to ask for your help, because religious duty must not replace relational truth. And before long, I can tell you, it's no longer by faith. When you start thanking God, and that door cracks open a little bit, and then it bursts open, and it's like from my toes to my nose, God, all of a sudden, I'm aware of so much stuff to be thankful for. I can't possibly list it all, but Lord, my heart again is alive in the place of agreement with you, and thanksgiving is going to keep that door open in me and for me. Now, I'll just say it this way. It's work sometimes to be thankful. I don't want you to think that I think it's super easy just to be Mr. Thank You, Mr. Thankful all the time. Because what we see with our natural eyes sometimes contests with the reality that we have lots to be thankful for. But it's a battle worth fighting. It's a battle worth fighting. I would encourage you, just like I would encourage myself, if you start your day going, Lord, before I walk out the door, I wake up and I breathe and I go, thank you for my breath when I wake up. Somebody told me that this week. It was just so cool. They're like, I'm becoming so aware of how good God is to me. When I wake up now, I thank you, God, that I woke up and I have breath. I said, you are going to go somewhere because you're starting from the right posture, the right position. I'm not running out there thinking, I've got this. I'm thinking of God, I have nothing except you've graced me and given it to me, and I thank you for it. For my breath, I wake up and there's a roof over my head. Thank you, God. I wake up and there's a floor under my feet. Thank you, God. You know, I wake up and I'm alive and got all my faculties. Thank you, God. Because if we linger before him in this, see this idea, you know, there's a lot of psychology about it. There's a lot of natural reasons why to do this. And don't hear me say that isn't good, but hear me say that isn't all. That isn't all. It's the supernatural dynamic that I'm involved with. It's a supernatural dynamic that I want to break through in. That there's something about saying the tangent. I mean, let's just look at Daniel's life for a minute because we've been talking about him a lot. But the idea that the entire, kingly court and all the counselors know and even the king's wife and one circumstance know that there's something so different about Daniel that the presence of God in his life invites him into every governmental situation or circumstance that can't be solved by human means. There's the favor of God rests on Daniel in such a profound way, and it's because I believe with my whole heart, Daniel maintained this posture of thanksgiving on a daily basis. And it wasn't like Daniel had a great life. He was a slave. Now, he was offered a great life, but it was all in servitude. You know, it was all, you don't get to go home. I mean, he opened the door of the window of his house towards Jerusalem because that was his home. He was praying and thanking God every day, but it wasn't like he was where he wanted to be. He wasn't where he wanted to be. But the reality was thanksgiving was always the posture of his heart. Eventually, there's a revelation in his life we'll talk about next week that's so profound because he finds out where he is in God's story, and it massively, massively affected that part of his life. So we're asking the Holy Spirit for help. Help to listen and find the place of thankfulness of heart. That we would offer it of our own free will, and that we can start with things to be thankful for and watch how that list grows. And I believe if you take the time in his presence, you'll watch what else will grow too. Because your faith and your trust and this your deliverance, safety, prosperity, and victory will also come from this place of thanksgiving. Maybe it's simple. Maybe all knew all this already. But to me, I was speaking with somebody this week and they'd lost their job and they applied for their unemployment and that didn't work out. They didn't know what they were going to do. They were out of money. It was a tough situation. And they were talented. They were able to work. They didn't know what they were going to do. And they were just telling me, I've been having anxiety about it. And my only counsel to them was, you've got a lot. You've got a lot to be thankful for. Start being thankful. Watch what happens. You've got a lot to be thankful for. That's everybody in this room. You know, if you're a student, you've got tests coming, you've got bills due, you're a home budget is stressed, you got dreams that haven't yet realized or disappointments that have, I can tell you, the first posture, the first position, thank God for what we have and watch him move and do more. Stand with me if you will. We're going to close this morning. Father, Lord, help us to be thankful. Lord, we do, each of us has so much to be thankful for today. Lord, we're just asking that your grace, your all-sufficient grace, Lord, would come to bear and help us, Lord. Some of us, God, I just know what it's like to not be able to get out of anxiety easily, Lord, to have some type of oppressive, worrisome thought, Lord. There's a burden that just doesn't leave easily. But God, I know that by your grace, being thankful will dislodge the weights that we're unable to move off of our shoulders. I pray to God, help us to be thankful to see those weights dislodged. Lord, your goodness, hard to describe, but we'll start today by saying thankful with all thankfulness, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. God, for the breath that we breathe, for the air that we have. Lord, for the life that you've given us and the resources at our disposal. Lord, we thank you today for your presence, for your power, for your word. Lord, we just take a moment and say thank you. Thank you, God. Well, I just want to encourage you right there. Just begin to list, just out loud. Just, this is what I'm thankful for, God. Just, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for my home, for my family. Thank you for my spouse and my parents. Thank you for my friends. Thank you, God, for my church. Thank you, Lord, for the vehicle that we drive to get where we're going, for the money, for the groceries, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the dog and the cat and the pets and the birds, Lord. Thank you, God, for the nation that I live in and for, God, the hour and the days and the time, the sun, Lord, and the moon. Lord, thank you for the beauty that's around us. Thank you, Lord, for a heart that's sensitive to your voice. Thank you, God, that you love me just like I am, but you love me too much to leave me there, and you're drawing me near. Thank you, God, for your promises in your word. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. I'm telling you, it'll do your heart good to let your ears hear your voice say, I've got a lot to be thankful for. Lord, we thank you today. We praise you today. We bless you. We honor you, God. We ask that these things, Lord, would go deep in our hearts and cause our lives to reflect you in a greater way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This morning, I do want to make the altar time available for anyone who wants to receive prayer. You know, if you're in a situation where you're just needing a breakthrough in the Lord, or you're experiencing some symptoms in your body, pain, sickness, anything like that, we don't want to miss a good opportunity to invite God into that situation and bring his salvation, his victory, his breakthrough. So today, before you leave, if that's you, just take a few minutes and come forward. We're going to pray for you. The rest of you, you're welcome to hang out. God bless you. You're beautiful. Have a great Sunday afternoon, a great Thanksgiving week.